could be. Who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it shows. It'd make him cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down a block on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me.
Hi, my name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 28 years and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center. I'd like to welcome you all this week to my radio show, Attitude Adjustment, where I interview inspiring and motivational guests on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stretch your limits as to what is possible. Each week, we tackle an issue and share how to create a healthier lifestyle, live without pain, and embrace small nutritional and wellness changes that make a big difference. This week, I am very happy to welcome a friend of mine, Dr. Pamela Middleton. Are you there, Pam?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound lovely. And I'm so glad you're with us today. And I would like to give our listeners a little background on you and your journey in medicine. So Dr. Pam Middleton is by training a medical doctor and presently specializes in integrative pediatrics. Her pediatric patients refer to her as Dr. Pam, and I love that. So your patients feel very connected to you, yes?
Yes.
That's great. She has been practicing medicine since 1995. Dr. Pam was introduced to alternative medicine several years ago by a brilliant naturopathic physician who became her mentor. This began a paradigm shift that leads her to integrate her traditional medical training and alternative therapies. So she provides her patients with the best of both worlds, which is so needed today, Pam. Dr. Pam also has expertise working with adults in nutritional medicine, weight management, and body reshaping. Dr. Pamela previously served as medical director of Integrative Health Center, Care Center in Grand Terrace, California. Presently, she is in private practice in Newport Beach and specializes in integrative pediatrics, blending alternative, holistic, and traditional medical therapies. Dr. Pam previously treated autistic children at the Long Beach Hyperbaric Center in Long Beach, California, and we look forward to hearing a little bit more about that from you. Dr. Pam received her medical degree from Wayne State University in Detroit, Michigan, and completed a pediatric residency at Children's Hospital of Michigan in Detroit. She received a diploma in clinical homeopathy, a certification in practical applied nutrition from the School of Nutritional Science. She is certified as a GAPS practitioner and has attended numerous seminars for alternative medical therapies and procedures. And here we are with Pamela Middleton today. Dr. Pam and I met at a Holistic Chamber of Commerce meeting a number of months ago, and I'm so happy to have you here, and I would love for you to begin by sharing with our listeners how you got introduced to holistic medicine. After all, you are a traditional allopathic pediatrician, and now you've kind of come full circle.
Yes, well, thanks for having me on your show, Dr. Iris. So, the way I got introduced to holistic medicine was by a naturopathic physician. I moved out to California several years ago, and I met him down in the San Diego area. And he actually opened my mind to a lot of things that I had previously not been taught, you know, mainly that the body can heal itself. And of course, you know, in medical school, you know, we're taught basically to diagnose and treat, you know, various medical conditions. And we're not really taught to just let the body heal itself, because if we were taught that, then what would our purpose be? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've learned how to blend the two together. So he was the one who, you know, who introduced me. And what I think was key about the way he did it, I think a lot of times if your belief system is challenged, you tend not to go along with that. You know, you tend to turn away from things. But he never really tried to challenge what I was, you know, what my belief system was. But he would give me research. He would send me to, you know, articles. He would say, well, look this up and tell me what you think. So I would read things and then we would discuss it. So, you know, he kind of let me come up with my own knowledge of how things might have been a little bit different than how I had been taught.
Sure. Now, considering you're doing things that are not exactly allopathic, how do your colleagues look at you going in this direction of alternative medicine?
Well, it's changed over the years. Originally, you know, I had some people who really thought I had gone over the edge, as one of my friends said.
Okay.
You know, gone to the other side, you know, had too much California sunshine or something.
Oh,
but now I think because alternative medicine or integrative as I do it, because it's not just alternative, I integrate both, whatever is in the best interest of the patient. And I think especially for pediatrics, because there are meds out there that have such horrible side effects that, you know, we don't necessarily want to give these to children if we don't have to. It gives me some options. And I think that now, you know, my colleagues are seeing that and they have patients themselves who are seeking out options. So I have even gotten calls from them like, well, do you know of anything natural that I can do for this, or I can tell this parent to do, because, you know, they don't want to do this particular medication and I really don't have anything else for them. So I think they're becoming a whole lot open. And what I see in the medical field is that we're open as long as somebody is really doing more of an integrative type of practice. I think what people are not open to are people who just say, well, I don't want to take any medication at all, no matter what. I want something natural, because that's just not very realistic.
Mm-hmm. And that is so true, even in my profession. We like to integrate, and when a patient needs medication, it is so important for them to go ahead and go that route. And when they could integrate both together with alternative and allopathic together, it's very, very rich for a patient. So that's very true. So, Dr. Pam, who is your typical patient?
Okay, so my typical patient is the child of a parent who really wants to raise their child as naturally as possible, meaning I generally get the parents who are breastfeeding for at least a year. When they're feeding their children, they're feeding their children healthy, real foods. They're not on the McDonald's diet. Oh, I guess I shouldn't say any particular names of anything.
Well,
they're not
okay.
on the fast food diet.
Okay.
And, you know, they are, you know, they're really trying to give them the healthiest foods, boost their immune systems as naturally as possible. So these are parents who are like searching out more natural options. But on the other hand, they are coming to me. So if there's a need for a medication, they're also open to that.
Right. Now, the topic of our discussion today is natural treatment options for common childhood illnesses.
Yes.
So can you please share with our listeners, because I know there are a lot of parents and grandparents listening today, can you share some of the most common childhood illnesses you see and give examples of some of the treatment options that you recommend?
Okay, so I'm sure everybody knows a child or has had a child with an ear infection. So, you know, ear infections can be extremely common, and I do not tend to give antibiotics as a first-line treatment for an ear infection in most children, especially those who are above 6 months of age, because the American Academy of Pediatrics has actually suggested to physicians, they recommend to us not to give antibiotic treatment and take a watch-and-see approach. However, most pediatricians don't have anything else to offer to parents. And when a parent comes in and they've been up all night because their child's been screaming in pain, they want you to do something. They want you to give them something. So what I tend to recommend for ear infections are actually the ear pain that tends to accompany the ear infections is garlic mullein oil, which you can just buy from the grocery store. Mm-hmm. are like Whole Foods, Sprouts, Mothers. And what you do is you make sure it's warm. You don't want to ever put cold oil into a child's ear, into anybody's ear, but you can just warm it just right in the palm of your hand by rubbing the bottle, you know, in between your palms. And you put a few drops into the ear, and then you can put cotton, a little piece of cotton ball in the ear to keep the medicine in. And the one warning, if you can say as a warning that I must give, is this can only be done in an intact tympanic membrane. So mm-hmm. if you see fluid coming from your child's ear, you cannot give this. But generally, if you see fluid coming from your child's ear, they're no longer having pain because the tympanic membrane has actually ruptured due to the pressure buildup, and they feel a whole lot better.
Got it. And what else do you see commonly? I know my daughter's now an adult, but I do recall when she was little, she was getting chronic ear infections. And I recall a doctor wanting to do the tubes, and we refused to do tubes. And we did find natural, exactly mm-hmm. what you just said, and some other natural alternatives. So what is your opinion of the tubes?
The tubes, that once again, that's something that can help a child. I would prefer not to have to do that. What I have tended to do with the kids who are really having the chronic ear infections and they're having all this fluid in their ears, I've been able to use homeopathy a lot of times to help with that. And also, a lot of these children, if they go and get chiropractic adjustments, which you're very familiar with,
yes.
that has been very helpful too. And there have been children who have been able to not get the tubes after getting this type of treatment.
And that's very true. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that in my practice over the years.
Yeah.
So that's very validating. Okay. So you have a lot of background also in working with autistic children. And I see that you're a GAPS practitioner. Can
yes.
you explain what that is about?
Okay. So GAPS stands for Gut and Psychology Syndrome, or Gut and Physiology Syndrome. And that term was coined by Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride, who is a physician from the UK, who had a son who was on the autism spectrum, and she was able to come up with a dietary and detox protocol that was able to reverse his symptoms. And he is now a college student. So he did very well with the program. So I really like the GAPS program because it's not extremely expensive, but it is very, very difficult. I'm going to admit it's very difficult for a lot of parents to do because it's a very strict dietary protocol. And, but I've seen a lot of success with children on the protocol. In fact, I had one patient who came from, you know, quite a distance away. So he still had his traditional pediatrician that he was seeing. And he had only been on the GAPS diet for, I think, it was less than 2 months. And he went into his pediatrician who said to his mom, "What have you done? This is a totally different child." And, you know, mom told her what she was doing with the GAPS diet. And this pediatrician was actually aware of it and did agree that, you know, that could be helpful. So that was a big success story for me because it happened so quickly. Because unfortunately, what happens is when you're dealing with, you know, issues like autism, there's not a quick fix. So, you know, you can't just start something and think that, you know, the child is going to get better immediately. But it is great when you do see a pretty fast response, like in this
absolutely,
child.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we are about to take a very quick break, and we will be back with Dr. Pamela Middleton in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. glad you are able to be with us today. We are taking a short break. If you would like to ask our guests a question during the next segment of our show, please contact innerlightradio@yahoo.com or call 310-928-7733. As a doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 27 years, and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center, my staff and I are compassionate health experts. Through our integrative approach, we create miraculous breakthroughs in your physical and emotional health using cutting-edge technologies. Along with our inspirational and healing touch, we customize wellness packages to optimize your quality of life so that you can live your best life without pain. You are welcome to contact Dr. Iris by going to her website, www.driris.com. Looking forward to sharing this powerful second part of our show today.
Hi, my name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, and today I am here with Dr. Pamela Middleton, known as Dr. Pam, an integrative pediatrician. And we have been discussing autism, and it's such a hot topic today. The percentage, Pam, of children having autism, I have heard in males, it's 1 out of 50. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And sometimes they think it may be even more than that now. It might be as low as one in 40. So it keeps on, the number keeps on changing, unfortunately.
And so what, in your professional opinion, do you attribute that to?
Well, autism is actually caused by a gut dysbiosis, where these children have an underlying problem in their GI systems, and it can be hereditary. A lot of times you can look back and there's, you know, mother or father has some type of GI problems. So, you know, you start off at birth, like I guess you could say a major setup for a child would be a child who was born via C-section, so they didn't get any gut flora at all from mom, and then they were unable to be nursed, so that's another way of getting good gut flora, so they didn't get it that way. And then when they do what we call the traditional weaning diet, where you're feeding children sometimes things that are packaged and processed, that doesn't help the gut flora either. Then there are other insults that we have, like we have chemical insults that can come from various medications. We have the things just in the air. You know, we have, if you live in the LA area, we have all the smog in that area, which, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. So there are some things that you can't control. And then, you know, we have the water that's not always the purest. So there's a lot of things that can be going on that will contribute to the gut dysbiosis in these children.
Mm-hmm. And would you like to address, I know this is such another hot topic, vaccines?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll address vaccines. And the question that I get, because we were just talking about autism, so, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of controversy between the link between vaccines and autism. And what I tend to tell people is that I don't think that vaccines cause autism per se, not just, you know, just vaccines are the cause of autism. However, I think that if you have a child who's predisposed, like we were just talking about, if there are some toxic materials in the vaccines, maybe, you know, some of the preservatives or what have you that are in the vaccines, that may be enough in that child who's predisposed to contribute to the development of autism. But there are other things that are contributing too. Like we said, it could be the toxins in the air and the water. So it's, I don't think we can point our finger at one thing.
Got it. And that's what I've been reading about as well. Along with vaccines, I would like your opinion on, not related to autism, but just in the number of vaccines that is given to children today versus many years ago.
Yeah, well, we have a whole lot more vaccines now, and that's actually the result of medical science. You know, as we learn how to do more things, it's as if we're doing it because we can. You know, we look at all these diseases and go, oh, we can make a vaccine against this, we can make a vaccine against that. And, you know, there's always going to be controversy among some of these diseases. Like, you know, a lot of parents don't think that it's necessary to vaccinate their child, say, against chickenpox, because it used to be a fairly benign childhood disease. And what happens is when you talk to physicians, from a physician standpoint, you know, I'm going to be much more likely to have seen a very bad case of chickenpox. I will have been more likely to have seen the child who maybe had an encephalitis from chickenpox than your average person. Like, growing up, I had chickenpox. All my friends had chickenpox. At that point, I didn't see anybody have a bad outcome from chickenpox, you know, but of course, as a pediatrician, I have seen somebody in the hospital with chickenpox. But I think we have to be careful also, because we know that hospitals are the worst place to be in some aspect, mm-hmm. as far as communicable diseases. So, you know, if you're in the hospital and you're a little bit immunocompromised, you can still pick up more things there. So some of the complications that we see can come from things that have happened while people have been hospitalized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and one of the big reasons for hospitalization, say, for chickenpox would be secondary infections, because, you know, you have somebody you have a child who's scratching with dirty fingernails and then it gets infected and, you know, it just goes from there.
Sure. Now, Dr. Pam, if one of our listeners would like to contact you, how would they reach you?
They can reach me. The best way is to call my office. The office number is 949-706-1414. And if they want more information about the practice, they can go to my website, which is www.mydrpam.com. So mydrpam.com.
Great. And you know, Dr. Pam, that my radio show is called Attitude Adjustment.
Yes.
And so I would love for you to share two things from your professional opinion to help our listeners shift their attitude.
So the first thing I would say, and this would go for, because I know we have parents, but it's going to go for you and your child. You want to take responsibility for your health and for the health of your child. And what I mean by that is that you don't want to expect someone else to always fix it, or fix you or your child. So you want to take the responsibility of trying to stay healthy. So that's one big thing. And the second thing I would say is just to treat your body well. You know, feed it good, nutritious, real foods and nutrients so that it'll treat you well.
And that sometimes gets difficult for parents because they're in a rush. They're taking their children all over the place. Do you have any suggestions on helping them process that so they stay away from the fast food places?
Right. Well, the big key is like packing things as you go. So if you know you're going to be gone for a while, you can, you know, pack your fruits and veggies that you can just put in a little baggie and hand it to them to eat. And you can still make healthier food choices on the run. Like, you can go to certain fast food restaurants that may have healthier food options than others. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's something to do too, because, you know, obviously there are going to be times when you're going to be out and your child's going to be hungry and you're going to need to stop and get something to eat.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
absolutely.
That's one of the things you can do.
Now, if someone but wants to become a new patient at your office, mm-hmm. What type of introductory type of situations do you offer for people?
Well, traditionally, I don't offer a special rate unless they come to one of my talks, or because I'm on your show, all of
yes.
your listeners can actually get a special rate if they call the office. They can tell my assistant that they were on your show and they want the special rate. My initial new patient consultation fee is $225, so I will offer them a discount so that they can come in for $150.
Oh, very good. Thank you very much. Now, there are multiple natural treatment options that you provide for your patients. Can you give us some other options that you see very commonly, like the daily type things that you see?
Mm-hmm. So one thing that's happening right now, we see fever all the time. And this is something that parents really get extremely excited about. There's a lot of myths about fevers. So there's not the need to try to automatically bring your child's fever down with, say, Tylenol or Motrin just because you take their temperature and it's 100 or 101. What you can do for that is you can actually, I don't think there's a need to do anything unless the child is actually uncomfortable. And if your child's uncomfortable, you can give them an Epsom salt bath. That will actually naturally bring the fever down a little bit. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that I really like for flu, because we're in the middle of flu season, there's a homeopathic medicine called oscillococcinum. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have heard about it now. I think it's becoming a little bit more mainstream. That's something that you want to have on hand at home. And at the first sign of the cold, of a cold or the flu, you want to start to give that, because that has been proven via research studies to decrease the length and severity of the flu.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pam, I understand that you also have a kit with different products. Can you explain that?
Yes, I have a homeopathic kit that I've put together because, you know, invariably I get the call at 2 a.m. and, you know, when I ask, do you have this? They probably don't. And at 2 a.m, they can't run out to Whole Foods or Sprouts or Mother's to get something that can get their child through the night. So mm-hmm. I've put like several of the homeopathic medicines that I prescribe most commonly. I've put that in a kit. And I'm actually in the process of coming out with some smaller kits for individual conditions, you know, like a fever kit, you know, maybe an asthma kit, just, you know, special kits like that. A kit for, and I'm blanking on it now, molluscum, because that's very, that can be common in children. Mm-hmm. So, you know, different kits like this. So it's just, you know, maybe 4 or 5 medications that are commonly used for this. And parents can just have everything that they need right there.
I think that that's fantastic. So if a parent is interested in getting this homeopathic kit to just have in their home, how would they obtain that?
I have my big kit is actually online on my website. So they can go to the website to order that one.
And your website, once again, is www.mydrpam.com.
That's correct.
Great. And so that is a – I mean, I wish I had that when my daughter was an infant, was little.
Right. And I mean, and everybody can use it. You know, there are things in the kit that parents have been using.
Mm-hmm,
in fact, I'll just name one that I will say the dads especially use, because a lot of the moms are breastfeeding, so they don't have the need for this. But there's one that's called Nux Vomica, and Nux Vomica is good to use if you have had too much to eat or to drink.
Mm.
It's very helpful. So, and some of my kits, that's actually the first thing that goes.
Oh, wow. It sounds like everybody should have one of your kits then.
Yes.
Wow. Pam, we are almost out of time. I would love for you in a half a minute or less to give us your final inspiring words.
Okay. So what you want to remember is that the body was designed to heal itself. You want to take good care of it. You want to find yourself a practitioner that can help to guide you. And in cases where you do need some medical interventions, we'll be able to guide you in that aspect also. So
take care. Thank you so much. It's been such a treat to have you on our show today. You can reach Dr. Pamela Middleton
by calling her office at 949-706-1414 or go to her website, www.mydrpam.com. Please join us on the second and fourth Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you will continue to gain insights and inspiration from each of my guests. You are guaranteed to leave with two ways you can adjust your attitude. We look forward to our next show on Tuesday, February 25th, with Dr. Mishi. He's a board-certified integrative medical practitioner. For further information, contact me, Dr. Iris Rosenfeld. My email is driris@driris.com. My website, www.driris.com. And an inspiring quote for your day is, "Nothing in the world is difficult if one sets his mind to it." Have a healthful day, everybody.
Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. If I can wait, something's coming, I don't know.